today as we come to the table.
He'll be working through the Antichrist. He'll make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. So at the end of the 3.5 years, once their time is done and their ministry is done, he will allow the Antichrist to kill them. Now, a quick side note, if you're faithful to do what God has called you to do, I believe you're indestructible until that day. Now, does that mean you could be foolish and jump out in front of a car? Yes, I believe you could jump out in front of a car and kill yourself. I'm not saying that. You know, it's not like you're indestructible. What I'm saying is, if you're following God and doing what God called you to do, until you're done with the ministry God has given you, you're going to stay alive. And these two prophets stayed alive until God was done with them. And when they were done, he allowed the Antichrist to kill them.
Have you ever had a job that seemed like it was permanent, but once you finished a big project, you were let go? The whole time working on the project, you may have felt like you couldn't be fired. But as soon as you finished the task you were working on, you were told you no longer were needed. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark explains how God will protect you from the enemy while you're following and spreading his word. It is still possible for you to harm yourself, but evil will not be able to touch you. As long as you're being faithful to God in your ministry, you can rest assured you will be safe from attack. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 10 with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Right before the Antichrist comes on the scene, it would appear in Scripture, Ezekiel 38 and 39 are going to take place. What are Ezekiel 38 and 39? Russia and Iran are going to line up together to go down to attack Israel and to do away with the Jewish problem once and for all. As Hitler used to say, the final solution. Today or yesterday, Iran makes another statement. They always do. The supreme leader of Iran is saying that Israel now is to be destroyed. They still need to be destroyed. We're still going to wipe them out. And they're unveiling their new missiles that they now have with these new ballistic capabilities while we're letting them do it. And they're going to come against Israel. We don't know when. But now here's what it says will happen. Get this. You say, well, how could this ever take place? How would the Muslims ever agree? They hate the Jews so much. If you go to the Temple Mount today, they have Muslims who march on the Temple Mount and yell at the Jews and Christians. We were up there this last time, and they talk about how much they hate us and yell and get off what, blah, 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 right? Here's what's going to happen. Russia and Iran are going to move down on Israel, the Bible tells us. They will get to the edge, and all the armies around that agree with them, that'd be the ISIS region and all the others that hate Israel, will be joining in if ISIS is still around at that time. Because people say, what about ISIS? And what about Syria? And what about all this? They're all going to be coming. That whole region, the Bible says. So they'll be joining in. That, hey, you guys are going to destroy Israel? Count me in. And they're all going to be gathered. So imagine these zealots and these armies and every Muslim that wants to wipe out the Christians and the Jews. And they have this massive army of Russia that has great power. They have Iran, which is increasing their power because of us and other reasons. And now they move down against Israel. And it says right when they get to the border of Israel, these massive armies and this huge conglomeration of ISIS and Russia and all the Muslims and the Muslim nations ready to wipe out the Jews once and for all, that God will intervene and wipe out 5/6 of them in one moment. Now, is it a nuclear exchange? I don't know. Maybe. But 5/6 of all those millions of ISIS, Russia, Iran, Iraq, Syria, everybody else that hates Israel, 5/6 of them are suddenly gone, dead. Now the world is standing back stunned. Going, what just happened? And this world leader, it would appear, sometime right around that moment, is going to step on the scene out of Europe and say, I've got an idea. I have a plan. Who's going to fight him? Who's going to have the power to argue against him? The Christians are gone because we've been raptured. What do you think America's going to be like, and what's our strength going to be like after that? What's already happening to us, right? What do you think Russia's going to be like? 5/6 of their invading army just got wiped out. What about Iran? Theirs got wiped out. ISIS is gone. They're not a problem anymore. Everybody's gone. And now you've got the Christians gone, the largest contingent of radical Muslims gone on the world in a moment of time. Rapture and then that battle, which I believe are going to be somewhere close together. And now this world leader steps on the scene and says, we can never let this happen again. We need to have world peace. And I can show you how to do it. I'm the man to do it. He goes to Israel. We need to make an agreement. This can never happen again. We're going to divide Jerusalem. We're going to divide the Temple Mount. You guys have that side. You guys have that side. Jerusalem's divided. And there's not going to be any radical Muslims or very few that's going to be able to fight them at that point. They're gone. The deal will be signed. And the Bible says there'll be 3.5 years of peace. That doesn't last long, does it? 3.5 years. And at the end of that 3.5 years, that's when all this that we've been reading begins to happen. That's when the seals, the trumpets, and the bowls start happening during that last 3.5 years. Really, the Great Tribulation is really only 3.5 years long. You know, we think about it being 7 years. It's not 7 years. The first 3.5, there's peace in the world because there's not any radical Muslims. There's no Christians really speaking the word of God other than the 144,000 Jews that got saved and these two witnesses we're about to finish reading about in 11. So they're there, but they're not as predominant. But as we said, the radical Muslims are gone, so there's not the great problems with all that going on. And all of a sudden, this guy steps on the scene. He's going to have supernatural power, the Bible says, that's given to him by Satan, and the world's going to want to follow this guy. We need a savior. We're destroying ourselves. You're our answer. You're our hero, and everybody's going to bow to this guy. And so that's why the 42 months, by the way, 42 months is 3.5 years. And so that's where we get the 42 months. So they're going to tread under the holy city for this first part of the 7 years. It's going to happen right off the bat for 42 months. That is when it's given to the Gentiles and the Jews with their temple as well. Because after that, we're going to see that he stops the sacrifice at the 3.5 year point when the peace ends. He doesn't let the Jews sacrifice anymore. And he says, I'm God. And the Bible says he'll actually stand up in the temple and say, I'm God. Now, world, you're going to have to bow to me. And the world's going to bow to him. And he's going to force everyone to take a mark on their hand or their forehead, or else they can't eat or buy or trade. And then many others that get saved during that time, the Bible says, will be put to death. Now, what's really wild about this, they actually have over in Europe now some people that are taking these chips experimentally and using them like the smartphone, you know, where you go and just pay with everything, do whatever. And they were showing people with their hand going, beep, you know, and one guy laid it on a copy machine, made some copies. They're using it already. They're already doing it. And I believe there's probably going to be some type of computer chip. You'll have a choice either in your hand or your forehead that you would take, you wouldn't take, but that the world would take to be controlled and tracked and ruled by this Antichrist. Now, somebody asked me, what about these people that are taking these marks now? Are they condemned? I don't believe so. The Bible says if you take the mark of the beast, you're condemned. I don't believe these people are because it's not the mark of the beast. It's not the chip that's evil. It's the man behind the chip and what he's doing with it and then commanding everyone to do it. And the Bible says he forces all, both small and great, to take the chip. Now, or causes all. When that happens, if there's a world leader who just made an agreement with Israel that they can have half the Temple Mount and rebuild their temple. There's just been a mighty war between Israel and Iran and Russia, and they've 5-6 of them have been wiped out, and the whole world is bowing to this guy as the savior of the world. If that guy tells you to take a chip, don't do it. But if you know somebody that got a chip and they didn't know the Lord and they thought, this is cool, and they want to control like their little video game by it, and their friend convinced them, they're not condemned. I don't believe that. That's not what he's talking about, the mark of the beast. Now, I'd stay away from that, but that's not the mark of the beast. This is going to be something this particular guy does, and that's where the warning is going to be. During this first 3.5 years, there's going to be two witnesses that are going to be prophesying in Jerusalem. He says, I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days. Again, that's 42 months or 3.5 years, clothed in sackcloth. I love this. When these two witnesses show up, during this 3.5 years where the world's kind of following this world leader and there's supposed world peace, God's not leaving the world without witness. You're going to have the Jews that are 144,000 that are saved off the bat, other Christians that get saved in there, and then you've got these two witnesses that'll be there in Jerusalem. Probably, if not on the Temple Mount, probably on the other side down there at what they call, you know, the Western Wall. We don't know for sure where. They're going to be prophesying in Jerusalem. And these guys are not going to be, you know, wearing their eyes odd and their, you know, blue jeans. They're going to be dressed like Old Testament prophets because that's who they're going to be to God. They're going to be wearing sackcloth, which is the sign of weeping and repentance. And you better hear what I'm saying. I mean, these guys are going to be going to look like, you know, the whole sackcloth thing and probably the beard going, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And everything you imagined, what they're going to be like, these guys are going to be there. And he describes them. He says, these are the two olive branches and the two lampstands standing before the Lord of all the earth. Now, this reference comes out of Zechariah 6, where God gives a vision to Joshua and Zerubbabel there. Actually, Zerubbabel. And he sees these two there, these lampstands that are feeding straight in to these olive trees. And he's saying, these are my two olive trees. Those trees represent these two last days prophets. And what would have been exciting to Zerubbabel, and what's exciting to us about this, is that it wasn't a matter in the Old Testament God would come upon the prophets and God would fill them temporarily. He's saying, no, in the vision that Zerubbabel got, you had this constant stream of oil pouring out from the receptacles there right into these two prophets. So these guys are going to just remain filled with the Spirit 24/7. Just a run. Wouldn't that be great? Just have that running sieve 24/7 being filled with the Spirit. And these guys are awesome, man. Listen to what it says, verse 5. If anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, they must be killed in this manner. So again, I'm sure that probably the first one or two that tried it, nobody else did. It's like, okay, we get the picture. These guys have supernatural power. Notice what they can do. They have power to shut up heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. Can you imagine no rain on the entire earth for 3.5 years? You talk about famine, dryness. It's going to be amazing. Horrible, amazingly horrible. Giving it that balance. Sweet and bitter. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all the plagues as often as they desire. It's like Egypt. They're going to be able to strike the earth with like the plagues of Egypt and all that. Now, who are these guys? I'm going to give you the three main viewpoints that I know of. There may be others, but these are the three main ones I know of. And then I'll tell you which one that it really is. I'm just kidding. Some believe that this is actually Joshua and Zerubbabel being resurrected and brought back because they're the ones that got the original vision back in Zechariah chapter 6. I don't think so, but it could be. We know one of them for sure. Really, those who stand in that viewpoint, I don't know where they can get that because Jesus told us who one of them would be. He said Elijah will come right at the end. He's going to come right before the great and terrible day of the Lord. So we know that one of these prophets is Elijah. Now, you could make the argument that Elijah will come in addition to one of these, but I think it's pretty clear when you look at what the Bible says, that Elijah is going to be one of these prophets. And who's the other one? Well, again, this is where some have disagreements. Some say, well, it's probably going to be Enoch. Because Elijah was taken up and Enoch was taken up. And the Bible says all are appointed once to die and then the judgment, right? And so these two never got their chance to die, and so this would be their chance to come back and die. I mean, it's a logical argument in one way, but something hit me that I've never thought of until today. And that is, in the rapture, every one of us that are here will never die. So there'll be myriads of people in heaven that never died. So to make the argument those two have to come back and die, well, then all of us from heaven would have to come back and die too, right? So that argument to me today lost its oomph. Because I used to think, well, maybe it is. They hadn't died yet. Well, we won't either. So that to me doesn't hold water in light of that. Although it may be Enoch and it may be Elijah. I personally believe the last viewpoint that it's Elijah and Moses. And here's why. Not just because Elijah and Moses had these same powers. If you remember, Elijah could call down lightning, Moses could turn the water to blood, and all the things, same powers. God could give any prophet those powers he wanted. So I don't think that narrows it down to those two, because he could give those powers to anyone. But remember when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, and Peter and the others woke up, and they said they saw him supernaturally having a meeting with guess who? Moses and Elijah. And it said they were discussing the end times. So I find it interesting that Moses represents the law, Elijah represents the prophets, and the law and the prophets are all that the current Jews look to as their authority. They were having an end times conference with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when he walked the earth, and now we see these two prophets show up with the same powers of a Moses and Elijah. So I don't know who they are. I lean toward Moses and Elijah, but either way, these guys are going to be amazing. And to see them in their sackcloth and their beards and their power and all, I mean, again, I'm glad I won't be here to see it in person, quite honestly. But to see that from heaven, if we're allowed to do that, or however that's going to work, this is amazing. And again, for 3.5 years, nobody's going to be able to touch them. You've got a world now that's without Christians. They don't want Jesus. You've got the Antichrist who wants to be God, and everybody follow him, and nobody can stop these guys from speaking and evangelizing from the very heart of the world religious everything, they're in Jerusalem, and everybody's going to hate their guts. Can you imagine that? I mean, think about Christians in the office today that won't shut up. They're not liked, are they? Imagine all Christians gone, except for the few that get saved during the Great Tribulation. It's few and considerate worldwide. They're all gone, and these two guys show up and say, we're going to tell you everything, every day, what the Bible says, and every one of you need to repent, and you can't stop us. They're going to be so hated, but they're going to be faithful. And the world's going to want to kill them, and eventually when they can kill them, when God allows it, the Antichrist will. Notice what happens in verse 7. And when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. Remember, the Bible talked about, apparently it would appear that the Antichrist is going to be inhabited at some point by an ancient demon, it would appear, that ascends out of the bottomless pit. Satan will be in that father position, but he'll be, and it appears even will possess the Antichrist at some point. But this beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, the beast refers to the Antichrist. He'll be working through the Antichrist. He'll make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. So at the end of the 3.5 years, once their time is done and their ministry is done, he will allow the Antichrist to kill them. Now, a quick side note. If you're faithful to do what God has called you to do, I believe you're indestructible until that day. Now, does that mean you could, you know, could be foolish and jump out in front of a car? Yes, I believe you could jump out in front of a car and kill yourself. I'm not saying that. You know, it's not like you're indestructible. What I'm saying is, if you're following God and doing what God called you to do, until you're done with the ministry God has given you, you're going to stay alive. And these two prophets stayed alive until God was done with them. And when they were done, he allowed the Antichrist to kill them. And it says, and their dead bodies will lie in the streets of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. So he identifies the city as Jerusalem by saying where our Lord was crucified. But notice he says spiritually, it's Sodom and Egypt. That is, by this time, Jerusalem is going to be exactly like the world, all the wickedness of the world, and going to be exactly like the wickedness of Sodom. And again, Sodom was known for its wickedness. And even now they have all the gay pride parades and all these things that carry on. Even in Jerusalem, you may have heard, we talked about the one recently where some people got stabbed by this Orthodox Jew, rejecting it and all. So again, it's going to be really magnified by this point. So there they are dead. They're going to be laying in the streets 3.5 days, all the flies, all the who knows how they're dead and how bloody they are. It's going to be an ugly mess. And by the way, this is extremely disrespectful in this culture. You know, you die even over there now, they bury you within 24 hours. That's a part of their culture. You die, they get you in that grave. And now they're going to let them lay out, just lay out in the open for 3.5 days. No doubt the Antichrist leading the way on that. And it says, and those peoples from the tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and will not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. So they're going to be kind of mocking them and rejoicing over the fact that these two troublemakers are finally dead. And everybody said, let's let them rot. You know, we finally shut them up. Now, why 3.5 days? I don't know. You know, they prophesied 3.5 years. Maybe there's something there, but they won't allow their bodies to be buried. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another. It's going to be like a holiday they create because of these guys. You know, they have All Saints Day. This will be like All Dead Saints Day or something. And they'll send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now, after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on all who saw them. Now, I wonder if God immediately restored their bodies, or if they still looked like guys that had been dead for 3.5 days with blood all over them. Can you imagine those guys standing up and be like, yeah, you know, the zombies are real, you know. Either way, this is going to be something that's going to scare everyone to death. And what's amazing is, the whole earth is going to see them do this. The Bible says that everyone's going to see them laying there, their dead bodies in the street. Everybody sees them and all this and going to be noticing them. How is that possible? Guys, it's possible now because of satellite TV. So this is going to be live on TV. They're going to be watching these guys. They're going to see them die, and it's going to be on TV when they're resurrected and ascend back to heaven. What's amazing to me is how could you see this and not believe? Again, I guess they do believe just like the demons, but they don't receive. They don't want God. And so great fear falls on them. And then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. So they see these guys get up, they're alive, they go back up to heaven, and they're like freaking out. Now notice what happens in that very same hour. Doesn't say how quickly right after this, but in the very same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. So an earthquake so large that it's going to destroy a tenth of Jerusalem. Just the sheer shaking of it, a powerful earthquake. Again, God trying to get their attention. You see a resurrection, there's a great earthquake. It's like, come on, guys. Just like when Jesus resurrected, there was an earthquake. Wake up. He's like, God's shaking the earth in their bed of sleep. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed. And the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. So it's interesting that some were afraid and they gave God glory. We don't know what the actual outcome of that was, but maybe some of them came to the Lord through that. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming. Now imagine, there's just the first two woes. There's another woe before we jump into the third woe here is going to be the seventh trumpet. But before we get into the bowls, so now you know why the angel said, whoa, 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 Then the seventh angel sounded. So now we come to this seventh trumpet after the break there and all these things that happened. The seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces, and they worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and who is to come, because you have taken your great power and reign. You know, we've seen all this stuff the Antichrist is doing. Now you're taking your great power and you're showing that you're greater than all. The nations were angry and your wrath has come. The time of the dead that they should be judged, that you should reward your servants, the prophets and the saints. That's us. So we're not the prophets, but we get the reward of the saints. And those who fear your name, small and great, and should, look at this, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. You know, it's interesting, all these people that love the earth so much today, they accuse us, oftentimes Christians, of being the ones of destroying the earth, or those of us that don't worship it the way they do. God says here, they're the ones destroying the earth. Why? Because they're bringing judgment on it because of their rebellion to God. And he says, you're the ones destroying the earth. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple. So remember, there was the one that was on the earth is just a picture of the one, the literal one that's in heaven. So they see, it's opened up. They see the true ark of God, his throne, if you will, in heaven. And there were lightnings and noises and thunderings and earthquake and great hail. Wow. Amazing stuff, is it not? Isn't it exciting that God has shown us, the ones the world makes fun of, he's shown us what's going to happen. He's going to rescue us out of what's going to happen, and we're going to rule and reign with him in the midst of it and after it forever. Is that good or what? Listen, if you don't know Jesus, it's time to get into gear. This is not a smooth evangelistic message, but it's a plea from my heart. This stuff is going to happen. You better be ready. And if you've not received Jesus and your sins are not taken away, you're not going to be the ones that are rejoicing in heaven. You're going to be the ones that are going through all this mess. And even if you don't go through the great tribulation, if you die before that or whatever the case might be, then you've got to face God and eternal judgment after that. So it doesn't get any better. Make a choice for the Lord. Confess him as Lord. Ask him to forgive you. Receive him as Lord. Believe that he died for you. And then you can rejoice with us. Even when we see all this freakish stuff that's going to happen, we don't have to freak out, do we? We can rest in our God because he's in control.
Thanks for joining us today on Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. Pastor Mark is going through some teachings that cover Revelation. The book of Revelation is always one of those books that either draws people in or sends them running in confusion. But it doesn't have to be so puzzling that you stay away. In fact, as Pastor Mark's been going through these passages, our hope is that you're coming to a deeper and greater realization of who Jesus is in all of it. Thanks for tuning in, and we'd like to invite you to come visit us even this week. If you're in the Knoxville area, we'd love for you to come to Calvary Knoxville this weekend. Our services are Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 9:30 and 11:15 a.m., and a midweek service every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And we'd love for you to bring the whole family. Every time we gather, it's another opportunity for you to grow in how you're experiencing God. If you're interested and would like more info, click on the church link at the bottom of the page at thewaymedia.net. You can also use the questions and comments link to get more info. And if you want to listen to any of these studies again, just click on the Come to the Table link online or connect with the Way Media app. That website again is thewaymedia.net. You can also get in touch with us over the phone at 865-609-1385. One more time, that number to connect with us is 865-609-1385. 1385. That's about all the time we have for today. But please join us again in Revelation right here on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.